you turn your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11 for our text today. I'm glad of the truth of that song, and that as we do go through storms, and all of us are going to face those storms in life, there is someone there with us. Beginning in verse number 11 of Nehemiah chapter 2, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night and by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest of them that did the work. Then I said unto them, You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which was placed good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken to me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Now, Father, we thank you this morning that we have the opportunity now that we can come and assemble ourselves and worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you for this number that has come out today to hear thy word. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you've loved us and cared for us. And certainly this morning you protect us and go with us through the storms of life. And you hold us in the hollow of your hand. We thank you today, dear Lord, that of all the blessings that you've brought into our lives, and we thank you today for the liberty that we enjoy here in America. And this morning, Lord, as we look into thy word now, we pray that the Holy Spirit will have free reign in our lives, that you will point out to us in the word of God what needs to be done in each of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to say to you this morning that America, the United States of America, needed a revival of the Spirit of God, most people would say amen. Yes, they do. If I were to tell you this morning that Mississippi needed a revival of the Spirit of God, most people would say amen. If I were to tell you today that Monroe County needed a revival in the Spirit of God, most people would say amen. If I were to say to you Rocky Springs needs a revival, somebody would say, well, schedule one and I'll be there. But I want you to understand something this morning when you begin to understand, and I know you've heard it said many a time, but listen to me very carefully. A series of meeting with a guest preacher is not revival. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist David says, Lord, we want you to revive thy work in the midst of years. Revival this morning, real true revival today, comes from the Lord and comes from the power of the Spirit of God that works in the lives of individuals. A man asked me one time many years ago, when are we going to have revival? And I said, well, I suppose anytime you want to. I read where one time Gypsy Smith, a great evangelist of yesteryear, was one day standing out in the parking lot of a church, and a man came up to him and he said, Brother Smith, I'd like to know how to have revival. And Gypsy Smith reached down into his pocket and found a piece of chalk. And he drew a circle about 3 foot around in the parking lot. He said, now you get in the middle of that circle, start praying God send a revival and start in this circle. He said, that's the way you do a revival. God brings revival. God this morning restores his people today. Most of the time, the meetings and the so-called revivals that we see taking place in our land are much like what is described for us in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 33, verses 31 through 33. Here we find that Ezekiel, as the Lord speaks to him, and the Lord says unto Ezekiel, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." You see, he's describing what takes place many times. We can hear, what a great sermon, what a great service, great singing. Oh, we had a wonderful time at church last night. But we go and we live as we always live. It's kind of like a fellow told me one time, I went out to a black church and they had had a burglary. Somebody had broken in the church on a Sunday night. And on Monday they called and I had to go out and give them an estimated price of what would be worth the machines that were stolen. I was in the office there talking and getting the information, and I said, "Well, I guess things kind of went that bad yesterday." And the lady secretary said, "Oh, no, sir." She said, "We had a tremendous service. We had a great service." And the old pastor sat in his office, and he was listening, and she said, "You know," she said, "the spirits were just bouncing off the wall." And the old pastor looked out there, and he said, "Yeah, one of them spirits stayed and stole our stuff, too." When you have a great service and somebody steals your stuff, well, that's a bad thing, isn't it, today? But you see, when we hear sermons and we today think how great they are and how good that is today, nothing wrong with that. But it's not the matter of what they said. It's what we do with what they said this morning. I was listening to 99.3 out of Boonville, the Christian radio station out of Boonville, the other day, and they were playing, of course, Southern gospel music, and all at once this guy came on, began to sing, and I don't know the title of the song, don't know many of the words. I heard it twice here lately, but I remember one refrain of it, and it said, "Jesus changed the life of this used-to-be honky-tonk man." And you know, that's exactly what Jesus does. We sang it a moment ago. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. It today is about doing what the Lord asks us to do. You see, real revival is when our hearts are put on fire by the Holy Spirit of God with a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. When our priorities become Jesus and we put Him and His Word to practice in our lives. Nehemiah was I always call him the rubble raiser, because he went back and God today was working and had His hand upon Nehemiah. And as we look today at Nehemiah and you think about Nehemiah, you see, God didn't include Nehemiah in the Bible today just to teach us a history lesson. Just to show us there was a man by the name of Nehemiah who returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the walls and rehung the gates and cleared out the rubble. God didn't just put that in there for you and I to gain a history perspective this morning, but He put that in there for our learning and our admonition. We're to learn spiritual truths this morning from the Word of God. And we find this morning that's why God included Nehemiah in the scripture today. That's why He's preserved it down through the years this morning, that He might teach us some great and spiritual truths here in the book of Nehemiah. And so just look at Nehemiah real carefully with me in these verses that I've read in your hearing today, and notice a few things real quickly. You notice Nehemiah's assessment, and that's beginning in verse number 11 down through verse number 16 this morning. And as you look at verse number 11, the Bible tells us that Nehemiah, as he had came to Jerusalem, and he had been there for 3 days. He spent 3 days getting acquainted, I suppose, maybe resting up from the journey that he had been on. And then after those 3 days, the Bible tells us he makes a nighttime tour. He arose in the night, the Bible said, and he began to tour around Jerusalem. He began to assess the need that was there. He began to try to see what needed to be done. And see, he did not consult. He did not call a committee together. He did not this morning begin to ask people and get their opinion and get an opinion survey of what they thought needed to be done. He did not send out a circular or a flyer and have a town hall meeting. Nehemiah simply tonight got on his horse and rode out into the night and there began to look around today. I believe that he did that very simply today because this morning I believe that he knew that God would show him what needed to be done. I believe that he just needed some time alone with God. And as he got alone with God in the night and as he began to ride around and make an assessment of all the work that needed to be done, of all the things that had taken place, God began to speak to his heart. And you see this morning, sometimes we just need to get along with the Lord. I think sometimes we need to just get by ourselves with God somewhere. You know, Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet. Enter into your closet. And you know, I remember several years ago, we were having some things go kindly awry, kind of in the storm, as they sang about this morning. And I came home, and Desi, I couldn't find her. And she was in the closet praying, literally. She literally went in the closet. You know, and I said, well, I don't know if the Bible means that literally, but she said, I had to get along with the Lord. You know, sometimes we just need to get along with God. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, enter into your closet. You don't need to go out and ask other people and get their opinion and survey it. You just get along with the Lord. You just say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, this is the problem. Lord, I need to know and I need a word from God. Sometimes I wonder, how long has it been since we just got along with the Lord? We just got somewhere and got down on our knees before God. And we begin to pull our hearts out on Him and say, Lord, what is the need of my life? Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what direction would you have me to go this morning? We just turn off the TV and we put everything else aside and just get somewhere and get along with the Lord. I think sometimes that Nehemiah rode through the night that you and I this morning need to be like Nehemiah. And we need to get along with the Lord and ask the Lord to show us what needs to be done. You see, as Nehemiah began to ride around the city of Jerusalem, and he began to see the great need that was there. And he saw the rubble, and he saw the ruin, and he also saw God's hand and God's power. You see, when we get along with the Lord, God can show us all the rubbish, and He can show us all the rubble. He can show us all the things that need to be done. But thank God today, in the midst of all of that, He can show us His hand and His power and how that He can turn everything around. And what does it mean to us this morning when we study about that this morning, when we look and see, and why did God include this into the Word of God? Well, you see, sometimes we get rubbish and rubble in our lives. We get sin, and it builds up, and it creates chaos in our lives today. And all the rubble and the rubbish is lying around, and it makes it hard for things to go right. And we've just neglected the Lord. We've not got along with the Lord. We've neglected God in our lives. We've let our hearts grow cold before the Lord today. We might be doing all the right things and saying all the right phrases. But listen to me this morning. When sin begins to get into our life and the rubble and the rubbish begins to get into our life, it begins to separate us from God. And our hearts are going colder and colder and colder, and we have no real passion for the Lord. We have no real fire in our bones and in our spirit this morning. Sometimes We need to realize and we need to evaluate and we need to see what rubbish and rubble we have in our lives and what we need to clean up this morning. We see the gates are burned down, and you see that's access. That's what a gate was. It was allows something to come into your heart. And sometimes we let the gates get burned down and things begin to have access into our heart that shouldn't be there. You know, the Bible says that a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Paul says in the book of Philippians, think on these things. And we begin to allow all this other things to come into our life, and we let the gates of God, the gates that God has put there to protect our heart today, we begin to allow those things to come into our life that shouldn't be there. The walls are broken down. You see, the protection is eroding away. That's what walls were there for, to protect. And sometimes we, this morning, are letting the walls erode away, and the protection is being broken down, and it's not there anymore. We can talk this morning about the United States of America, and we can see the rubble and the rubbish, and we can see this morning how the gates of access have been torn down today, and we can see how the wall of protection is gone. We also need to look into our own lives and see this morning that we have the rubble and the rubbish in our lives, and the gates sometimes are burned down, and we're allowing Satan to come into our hearts. We're allowing things to come into our heart that shouldn't be there. And the protection is being taken away today. Sometimes you have to wonder how much rubble is in your life and how much rubble is in my life today. How much access are we allowing into our heart this morning? What are we allowing to come into our heart, and what are we allowing to access into our minds today? It's amazing the power that Satan has today. You can try some experiments sometime, but I don't really want you to do that. But I read about many of these criminals and read about several as they publish their story. And sometimes it seems like they all have one thing. They've allowed something to access their mind. They've allowed something to access into their life. And it causes them to do terrible things. We don't need to allow that access today, because the wall of protection, we need to rebuild that back up in our lives. Now notice Nehemiah's declaration in verse 17 and verse 18. You see, Nehemiah reveals to them now what they need to do. Then I said unto them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. You see, Nehemiah here tells them what needs to be done. He said, we need to clean up this rubbish. We need to rebuild the walls and rehang the gates. We need some restoration. We need to come back to God. You know, sometimes we need to come back to the Lord. Sometimes we allow these things happen in our lives, and we need to come back to the Lord. And you see, it's not a personal attack. Nehemiah wasn't personally attacking these people. I saw a video, I don't know, it was on YouTube, I think, but I saw it, somebody had sent me a link and an email, and it was a preacher out, I believe in Oklahoma City, I know it was Oklahoma, Emmanuel Baptist Church. And he was preaching, and I don't know exactly what happened preceding this, but all at once he ran out of the pulpit, and he walked about three aisles, and he pointed to some guy, and he said, you're the sorriest church member I got. You ain't worth 15 cents. And then he went on some other tirade and all of that, and then they interviewed him again, and he said, that's what he done. He wasn't sorry about it. But see, we need to understand not a personal attack. That's what not Nehemiah did. Nehemiah just said, hey, here's the problem. We've allowed this to happen. Now we need to do something about it. And if we don't do anything about it, what's the use? You see, God wants to restore. He wants to restore us to a place with Him. He wants to heal us today. Somebody said, I'm not talking about physical sickness. I'm talking here about spiritual healing. He said in 2 Chronicles, He'd heal the land. He'd heal the things that befall us. He'd bring healing into our lives. He'll heal our broken hearts. He'll heal our bleeding hands. He'll heal us spiritually today. Forgive us of our sin. What a great thought that is today. You see, He wants a people who are pure and powerful and filled with the Spirit of God. Nehemiah said, you know, this is my mission, fellas. This is the reason I'm here. I've come and I'm here and my mission is to see these walls rebuilt and these gates rehung and this rubble and this rubbish removed and Jerusalem restored to the rightful place with God. Sometimes we need to realize that the mission today is to restore ourselves unto God. It's to bring ourselves to the Lord and get the rubbish and the rubble out of our lives and get our walls rebuilt and our gates rehung. That becomes our priority and our passion today. And you see, He gives them some great encouraging words, and I want you to listen to these words very carefully. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. That's some of the greatest encouraging words that you'll ever hear. Nehemiah said, very simply, the hand of my God was good for me. It's not going to be our, just don't depend upon us, fellas. It's just not what we're going to do. It's what God's going to do through us. It's not by might or power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The battle's not yours, but it's God's. It's God working through us today. It's the Lord that does it all. It's not about me. It's about Him working through us all today. Well, that's encouraging. Well, I can say the hand of God. God wants to reach out. God wants to gather you into His arms. God this morning wants to restore. God wants to heal. God wants to forgive and bring something into your life. Then look at the people's response. And they said, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. Well, we need to get busy, what they said. We've heard your words, Nehemiah. We believe God. And the Bible says, and they strengthened their hands for this good work. Then you begin to read down in verse chapter, number 3, and I'm not going to read all the verses, but verse 3, verse 1 says, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. Verse 2 said, and next to them builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded the Carson, and you just read on down through there. They rebuilt and they rehung. You know what they were? They did. I guess they were didders. No. You see, that's what real revival is today. It's when we begin to did. When we begin to practice what God tells us to do in our lives. When the Word of God becomes our priority, and doing what the Lord asks us to do, we get rid of the rubbish, and we see the rubbish in our life, the rubble, and we say, we got to get rid of this. We see those gates that we've allowed to be burned down, and we're allowing access of things into our mind that shouldn't be there. And we slowly see the wall of protection being taken away. We say, hey, we got to do something. And we call out to God, and through the Spirit of God, He restores us this morning. When we begin to do the Lord's Word, you see. See, they could have told Nehemiah, boy, that's right. Great mission. But I hadn't got time to fool with you. They didn't. They didn't. They did. Real quickly, I don't have time to develop this, but you think about this. Satan's opposition. Look at verse 19. But when Sanballat and Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing you do? Will you rebel against the king? You see, Satan will always oppose when you begin to do right with God. They begin to, here they begin by laughing. A lot of people laugh when you say, oh, I don't do that, I'm a Christian. I don't participate in that. I'm a child of God. Yeah, you're just an old Bible thumper. It won't last long. You read on, they begin to threaten them in other ways. One of the most interesting parts is as you begin to read through the rest of the book of Nehemiah, you find that Nehemiah prayed to God for protection, but then he said also, you get a sword on your side and a spear in your hand and you keep a lookout, and we're going to have a trumpet, and if we blow the trumpet, you get there and we'll all fight together. You see, this morning God's going to protect us, but He also expects us to participate in the battle. And Satan will always oppose us. He'd be telling you right now, you know, that's not for you. People will laugh at you. People will threaten you. He'll do everything he can to keep you from being right with God. But through it all, Nehemiah battled and builded. And when we look at chapter number 8, we'll see the great results that they had because they stuck it out. This morning, Nehemiah is here for us to learn a spiritual lesson from. We need to get the rubble and the rubbish out of our lives. We need to allowing access into our minds, and we need to get the wall of protection put back up and see God work in our lives as He wants to work. Nehemiah is a great book to teach us spiritual lessons today. You think about what you need in your life. Think about the great God of glory that can help you with anything that you need. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Rufus and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you very simply this morning to bless this message in Jesus' name. Lead us and guide us now. Amen and amen.